Good morning and welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers and I am joined as always by my fabulous co-host Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. Got my invisible apron on.
It's quite invisible. I can see your nice white shirt right through it. It's a stealth apron.
Well, I was embarrassed because there was some commercial on TV and they were talking about how not all heroes wear capes. And then some guy who was wearing an apron said, some of them wear tummy capes. And he flapped his apron. And I thought, okay, now I'm too embarrassed to wear an apron. Tummy capes.
Tummy capes. I have several blouses that would have been grateful had I worn an apron.
I'm
the worst at wearing aprons. What have you been cooking?
Well, it's salad season.
I know.
It's so good.
It's so good.
I always like to have like salads in the fridge. And in the winter, it ends up being, you know, coleslaw and macaroni salad and potato salad, stuff like that, you know. But then spring, summer, you know, you just get to make things with actual greens.
Yes.
And you can in the winter, too, but it's just everything seems heavier, you know.
Yeah, it is, because you get the sturdy greens. And
yes.
We get baby lettuce.
I know, baby arugula.
I know.
Sounds like a car from the 20s, arugula.
That's right. The salad greens are just spectacular right now.
So, you know, that woman I like, that she never says her name, so I don't know
how to... Her name is Duaron.
Duaron?
Mm-hmm.
Justine Duaron. Makes me laugh like Maurice Chevalier. Well, she had a recipe. It's called avocado chickpea salad with tzatziki style dressing.
Yeah, that dressing sounded great.
And so I made that and it was really good. What do you think of when you think of a Persian cucumber?
I think of those small cucumbers that are small in diameter and also in length.
See, that's what I didn't
mini
know.
Mini cucumbers. Oh, well, I mean, does it matter? Do they taste different?
Well, no, I mean, it matters because it calls for 4.5.
I
thought, oh my gosh, this is just going to make so much, you know?
Yeah.
But then I watched the video, thank God, and I saw that they were the smaller ones, so I didn't know.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I bought 5 avocados because it's 4.5, or not avocados, cucumbers, because it's 4.5 cucumbers for the recipe and then 1/2 cucumber for the salad dressing. So I'm really glad I watched the video, because that would have been way too much cucumber for the salad dressing. It would have just been like a slop, you know, because you grate the cucumber. It would have just been like
so much
oily
water.
Slop. Exactly. So I'm really glad I watched it. And then I made, you know, that old timey cucumber salad where you slice your cucumbers and you slice a red onion, you soak them in very salty water for like an hour, and then you drain them, leave them in the strainer for like an hour so a bunch of water drips off, and then you just mix them with sour cream and garlic powder.
Yeah.
I made that, and that was really good. It's such a grandma thing, you know, to make.
It's like wilted lettuce.
Yes, exactly.
With bacon dressing. It's fab.
Man salad, my grandma used to call it, because the men would eat it.
Yeah, well, I would eat it too. I love it. I miss my grandma every time I think about it.
But this was a good salad. So it's essentially a dressing that is like tzatziki. It's got some cilantro, which is good. I don't put that in tzatziki, and there was also some jalapeno. But it's avocado and cucumbers, mint, cilantro, and then you take a can of chickpeas, and then you saute them in some spices, cumin, coriander, Aleppo pepper, and I like all of those, and so it was good. And then, it was good. I put a lot more mint than I probably should have in there, but I had a lot, so... And it was still good. I like mint a lot. I think it's delicious.
Yeah.
And so this is definitely a salad I would make again. I liked it a lot. What have you been making?
It's so nice when you find something that you really like. You know, you find a recipe that sounds good and it is good.
Yeah. And I know that you have, you know, recipe writers, and I do too. You know, like Justine,
she can count on.
Yeah, resonates with me. And what she makes is good, and our tastes are, I don't know if they're similar, but I just like what I'm sure her palate is, I don't know, a metric ton better than mine, but I don't, how do you measure palate? Unit of palate?
How do you measure a musical ear? You know, some people have perfect pitch, and I believe that some chefs have perfect pitch in terms of palate.
Yeah.
I've worked with one, and it was really remarkable how a person could read a recipe and understand exactly what it was going to taste like.
Yeah.
And also understand that exactly a little bit more than was required needed to be added of whatever this was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a
finesse.
That's a genetic thing. That is not a learned...
It's like a talent.
Yeah, exactly. It's a talent. So some people are lucky. And I I think that Justine's recipes are solid gold.
Yeah.
And I feel that way about Allison. Why am I not going to say her last name?
I know
name?
Who you mean.
I'm going to say her last name in a minute. But there are some people that I just really trust.
Yeah, like I trust Ina Garten. I know that if I make it, it's going to taste good. That kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you know, a lot of recipes that I see that I want to try are recipes that were developed by somebody and then adapted by somebody.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And all you have to do to use somebody else's recipe in print and then is say you know change 3 grains of salt or something, and then say
I see
you
that,
adapted.
I see that so often. Instead of a half a teaspoon of salt, it's like 3/4 or a quarter teaspoon of salt, and then they're like, "Oh, it's adapted by me, the blogger," and you're just like, "Well, ugh, I will never look at you again."
That's one way to feel about it. The other way to feel about it is that somebody is sharing a recipe for you, and they may have changed something about it, but they want to give the original person credit.
Yeah.
So instead of just putting their name on it, they say where they got it.
Yeah.
And who knows where they got it, because recipes are currency.
Yeah.
You know, and they transcend generations and fads and physical locations and all kinds of crazy stuff. I think that recipes are right up there with like cave paintings in terms of being the beginning of something big, you know?
I make things that my grandmothers were making, you know, nearly 100 years ago.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, that cucumber salad is one.
Yes.
You know?
And man salad.
Man salad.
And posset?
That I got that recipe not from a relative, but I mean, it's from Renaissance times.
Yeah.
So it's an old 600-year-old recipe, you know?
I love pudding.
Yeah.
Of any kind. Yeah. I mean, I don't care. That's a pretty vast category of food, and it can mean so many different things, but I just
love. Do you like
that
butterscotch food. Pudding?
I do.
Do you? I don't, and I know I'm totally in the minority. That's the only kind of pudding that I don't like.
Do you think you are? I don't know that you're in the minority. I really like banana pudding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's delicious. And you can make it with, you know, so many things in it, which is good too.
Allison Roman.
That's it.
I really like her stuff.
Yeah.
And I think both with Allison Roman and Justine.
General?
Dois. I looked it up and I listened to how they say it. And
okay.
It's Dois Ron.
Dois Ron. It's hard to move Dois around that way.
Yeah.
General.
both of them are professional recipe developers.
Mm-hmm.
So those are, you know, they both have a very, they have a good palate,
mm-hmm.
but they also have a very left brain approach to it by doing scientifically a recipe a million times
mm-hmm.
and tweaking and writing down and weighing and measuring every single thing so that we can rely on how it's going to be.
I always thought Allison Roman should be more famous than she is.
Yeah, she's pretty famous.
No, really.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, famous like who?
I don't know.
She doesn't want to do, Justine is like on social media all the time.
Yeah,
that woman
true.
Doesn't have a life.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, her wedding cakes were on.
Yeah.
Looked fabulous.
Yeah.
But seriously, for people who actually want to have something besides filming themselves to go on, then
yeah,
that would be so relentless. Yipes.
Well, I made another salad.
Yeah.
And this one was from Ina Garten. And I was trying to find the recipe for crab nachos that she has.
Oh.
And then I ran across this salad. And it's called Charlie Bird's Farro Salad.
Oh.
Have you made it?
No.
Oh, I thought that was recognition on your face. Sorry.
No, because Charlie Bird was recognition for some reason.
Oh.
Anyway, go ahead.
So It was good. It's a farro salad, and you boil the farro in apple cider, fresh apple cider.
Oh.
And so that was different, and it was good. There's bay leaf in there too. And then you make a dressing, just a vinaigrette, and then the recipe has mint, so you know that I'd had a lot of mint, so I made it, and some parsley, tomatoes. It has radishes and baby arugula,
ooh,
and Italian parmesan, and then pistachios.
Yum.
So it was interesting, but it was really expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't have fresh apple cider laying around if it's not fall, so maybe I should make this in the fall. But that was expensive, and then there's pistachios. They were expensive. Buying mint is expensive. Buying arugula is expensive. And I'd used the last of my parmesan, so I had to buy parmesan, yeah, too. And so just all that combined, it was expensive. It reminded me of, you know, 11 Madison Park. It's a restaurant in,
yeah,
New York City.
Yeah.
And they have a granola that they're famous for.
Yes.
And that recipe's on the internet, but I always call it the $50 granola because it has, you know, the big wide shavings of coconut, and it,
yeah,
has...
It has 150 things you don't already own.
Yeah, and it has dried cherries, but everything is really expensive. And so it reminded me of the $50 granola. It's just, I would have to have a lot more of these things on hand to make it again, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it just struck me as really expensive.
Yeah, but I wonder, did you feel like it was really expensive for a salad or for a dinner?
It was pretty expensive as an entree.
Okay.
Yeah. And it wasn't an entree, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Way worse. It is the season, though, where there's so many great salads that can be an entree, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You're the queen of that.
Well, I'm in the mood to start making niçoise because it's just, you know. We got green beans. We've got all of the good stuff, mm-hmm, and we've got access to such good fish. No matter what kind of, if you want to do fish with your niçoise,
yeah,
we got it going on. So, yeah, I have a piece of. I'm not even sure what kind of fish it is. It's white in the fridge right now. I need to figure out what I'm going to do with it. But I think I might like to try to do something with miso. I've been trying to work miso into more things lately because it's just so flavorful and I forget about,
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Unless I'm making an Asian dish, I tend, yeah, to forget that miso is just so all-purpose.
It's such an expert at working its way to the back of the fridge.
Yeah, yeah, and lasting forever,
yeah,
in its,
yeah,
favor.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only kind of flavoring I should buy is something that's going to last forever.
But I really should. I mean, I should buy all the colors of miso and just have them on hand. I don't do that. I do that with curry. You know, I've got red, green, and yellow at all times. Paste at all times. And I should do the same thing with miso. I would use them a lot more.
Yeah.
If I reliably knew that I had them, you know.
I almost always have white, mm-hmm, because it's really, it's mild.
Versatile.
And yeah, right. If you're going to only have one, it's the chicken of the miso.
Yes. Well, and then that's it. I wanted white the other day and all I had was red.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. It's a new recipe, you know. That's,
yeah,
a big difference.
Well,
yeah,
that's the other thing. If you're trying a new recipe,
yeah,
you really want to know what it is before you start messing with
it. It'd be like if it called for honey and you used maple syrup.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It'd be a crapshoot.
It might be fine.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be. You'd still end up having to go back someday and cook in the original recipe if you,
yeah,
really wanted to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should do that. I always have lemons and limes, fresh ones, always. I always have the three different curry pastes. What else do I always have? I mean, that there's like a range of, you know, like a range of citrus, a range of miso paste. I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to try to always have them.
Yeah.
And then
and then use them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a two-part,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an inexpensive ingredient to make a very big and distinct difference in whatever it is you're fixing.
Yeah.
And it's showing up in a whole lot of recipes I read now. So we're on a thing. I want to take a quick sec and let everybody know that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio. Thanks for tuning in. And North Coast Food Web. please take a minute and visit northcoastfoodweb.org and KMUN.org. Do yourself a favor. They are chock full of interesting information. You had sent me text the other day about the beeswax wraps for taking care of food.
You introduced me to those.
I love those, and I loved that the article that came with the little thing that came with them talking about how they reduce not only food costs but food waste in our system out there with all of our disposable plastic bags and blah blah blah. And clam shells.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a big fan of those. I love those things. And I also love the silicone style of resealable bags.
You introduced me to those. They're great.
I love
them. And you can wash them in the dishwasher. You taught me that. You just stick them on the top rack and on some little prongies so that they open up and it cleans them perfectly.
Yeah. And then I have a bunch of those plastic pour spouts that you can put in the top of your soy sauce bottle or whatever so that you don't have to take the lid off and on all the time. And I use one of those to as a little pry bar to hold the silicone bag open when it's drying.
Oh, okay.
And I just pry it open, turn it upside down on my dish rack and leave it, and it gets completely dry. And then you've got, you can use it forever. Mm-hmm. I have not ever had to replace either one of those things, the beeswax wraps or the silicone resealable things, because they just last forever. You just keep washing them and using them. And the reason that I thought about that, and also you can get them everywhere. Mm-hmm. You can get them at your local grocery store. A million different companies make them. It's easy. No reason not to have them.
Yeah.
But when you said that you always have lemons and limes, it made me think of the beeswax wraps, because when you sent me that little blurb about them, it dawned on me that that's what I can do with a half a lemon.
Oh,
I hadn't thought about it, but it's hard to save a cut lemon mm-hmm. for any amount of time. Mm-hmm. And it isn't that rare for me to. It's easy to use a whole lime right mm-hmm. right then, but you may not really need
it. Well, and then those packs of beeswax cloths, there's not enough vowels in that. they always send you little tiny ones that are pretty much unusable, and that would be perfect for that.
Yeah, for that kind of thing, or sometimes a piece of a block of cheese, a chunk of cheese of mm-hmm. any kind that just needs to stay nice for a few days. Or however long.
No, a lemon is perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to start doing that, because usually I just have a lemon in the crisper along with a bunch of other fruit, and it's every time I open the drawer, it's calling to me. Help,
well, you,
help me.
You call that the vegetable hospice, your crisper drawer.
Well, I hate to, murder something on purpose.
We'll just leave it to die. No, that's not true.
That's manslaughter.
You use your vegetables. vegetable slaughter. Well, I made something that was really good.
Yeah?
Crab nachos. I started telling you about those. So this is also an Ina Garten recipe, and my friends Harry and Salty told me about this. I am very allergic to shellfish,
yes.
which is a tragedy because my stepson is a commercial crabber, and Dale loves it. So what I need is a recipe that tells me exactly what to do, because I cannot taste as I go because I'll die.
Yes.
So,
but you can trust Ina.
Yes, and also Harry and Salty, because they said, no, it's just exactly how it's written. And that's true of Ina. I mean, she really does. The only thing is sometimes she's pretty happy with the salt.
Yeah.
And so generally in her recipes, I'll use half as much salt as it says and then adjust.
Her idea of a pinch is pretty,
I mean, she regularly uses like tablespoon quantities, and that's just for me a lot. And I like salt, but even hers is a lot. But this is really good, according to Dale. And it also smelled really good. So it's just nachos. So what you do is you make this cream cheese and sour cream mixture that has scallions. It has a little can of diced green chilies. Now, it's not that Dale doesn't like hot stuff. It's that hot stuff doesn't like Dale. So what I did is I bought one of those mild the little cans
yeah,
of mild.
Not, they're yeah. not really hot chili peppers.
Yeah, and so that worked really fine. It's got a little lime zest, and so you make this creamy mixture, and then you carefully fold in some crab. So she has you. That's the only thing I did different than the recipe. She has you mixing the cream cheese, mayonnaise, and sour cream till it's smooth, and then stirring in all that stuff: the crab, the scallions, chilies, lime zest, salt and pepper, all at once. But I mixed everything up except the crab, and then I carefully folded the crab in so I wouldn't break up the claws, you know?
Oh, right.
Because you don't want to do that. So, and then you spread out some corn chips on a baking sheet, and then you just kind of glop it on there, half of it, put some more, and some cheese. And she has specific kinds of cheese, but I just had a little bag of that shredded Mexican four-flavor cheese. And that worked great. And then you put some more chips on and glop some more on. And it turned into a very tall pile. And I thought, boy, there's just no way on earth that that is going to bake successfully. So I pressed it all down. I didn't break the chips, but I spread it out evenly. So it was pretty flat. And then, and I baked it, and there's cheese on top too. And boy, it smelled so good. And seafood stuff usually doesn't smell good to me because, you know, imminent death.
Yeah.
But, and then, it was just all golden, the cheese on top. It was perfect. And then, while that's cooking, you make a salsa, and it's got avocado and jalapeno, lime, cilantro, onion, and, of course, tomato. And it was just really, really good. I mean, Dale ate it four nights in a row. I really, it looked like it made a lot, so I cut it down, but even that was a lot. And so,
And so did it reheat?
Yes, according to him. But it looked like it did.
Yeah.
And just, you know, leave the salsa off. And
yeah.
So, it was really, really good. And it's one of Harry and Salty's favorite things, too. And I trust them. They're really good cooks. So I was really happy with it. And so it's something that I will make regularly because it was just easy and different and delicious, I think.
Yeah, so, I'll have to look for it. I have some crab.
So it's called Fresh Crab Nachos, and it's from Ina Garten. It's in her Modern Comfort Food book.
Okay. Usually you can find Ina's stuff online.
Yeah, yeah. She's real generous that way.
Look up the recipe.
Yeah.
I am, as you know, divesting myself of cookbooks. And so if I can find a recipe somewhere, the recipe that's out of the book, without having to actually have a piece of thing. I don't...
A piece of thing, huh?
A piece of thing. I don't like pieces of thing laying around my house. I've been divesting a lot lately, and so has Tom, because he's doing the divesting of a space that we're going to have remodeled, and so it has to be emptied, and it was full to its gunnels. So he's working on that.
I love that your brain can come up with the word divesting and also piece of thing in the same sentence. I really admire that.
Do you? Well, I got to come up with an idea to do something inspirational with chicken, and I like chicken because because of its diversity, but I'm not always inspired.
Hey, I was looking at a recipe on the New York Times, and it was recent. They sent it out in an email. That's why I noticed it. But it was Sam Stilton's barbecue chicken.
I saw
that. Did you see the picture of that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's something that I am inspired to make because it looked like it had a lot of flavor. It didn't look like just barbecue chicken.
Right.
And it looked really delicious. You know, it was kind of blackened, and it looked really good, didn't it?
He grills what about, like crazy like you do.
What about that?
Well, that would be good. I don't have a grill, but I mean...
No,
I
but you got that grill thing that's just the same on your stove.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, that would be really good. That appealed to me. And I also saw a recipe for a soy chicken, and I remembered that I have this funky little cookbook that I will never get rid of that was just like a half-size format of... spiral bound, put together as a fundraiser for something. When I lived in Hawaii, I think it was a fundraiser for the volunteer fire department. I'm not sure, but it had a recipe called Shoyu Chicken.
Okay.
And it's a soy sauce chicken recipe, but it's really, really good. And I haven't made it forever because...
Do that.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
It sounds so good.
It comes out sticky and delicious.
Yeah.
And And it has soy and a little brown sugar and some rice vinegar and blah, blah. You know, all the stuff.
You know how I am about cookbooks. So over in Pacific County, the Humane Society there, they yes. have a garage sale. They call it the garage sale
yes.
every year.
So worthy.
Yeah. So somebody gave them 100 moving boxes, so like file boxes, of those spiral bound cookbooks.
Oh my gosh.
They were just like, what would you pay for these? And I couldn't bring that home, you know? I just couldn't. And I regret it to this day. It was a decade ago, and I still regret it. Oh. Isn't that... 100 boxes.
Those kinds of cookbooks, although very often, because they're full of recipes that have been donated by people, they're people, right? Mm-hmm. They're often a fundraiser. And so I always feel like if I get one really reliably great thing out of this, I'll be so happy.
Yeah, yeah.
but there's something about them that is so yeah. charming. Often it's the way they're actually physically put together, the yeah. artwork and stuff. Yeah. But I don't know. I just I have a hard time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give those away.
No, huh?
I'm going to keep all the funky stuff.
It's not something you could find online either.
That's true.
It's not famous. So I made a fresh strawberry pie.
Oh,
that's
yum.
Something I love to do. I used to work in a French restaurant and we would make those. And I made pastry cream, which is something I've made many, many times in my life. But it turned out all lumpy.
What?
I know. And I didn't know what to do, but I made fudge once and the chocolate chunks just wouldn't melt. And so fudge, when you're making it, you don't want to whip it up because then it turns into frosting, you know?
Oh, right.
And so what I did is I stuck the immersion blender in the fudge, and that worked great. I mean, it didn't introduce any air because it was underwater, you know?
Right.
And then, under the chocolate. And then it made everything okay. So I did the same thing with the pastry cream, and it worked.
Really?
Yeah, I just stuck it. I had it in a tall enough pan that I could get the immersion blender yeah. all the way under there. Although I don't know it would have mattered if I introduced any air. And then I just... and it worked.
I wonder why it happened.
I don't know. I never know. It's always such a mystery. It's just... cooking is
It's chemistry.
Oh my God.
We're glad it's
such
not something
mystery.
That's going to explode.
But I mean, everything was normal about it and just fine. Afterwards, I folded in some stabilized whipped cream. So I made like a diplomat cream, you know.
Yeah.
And it was good. Put the strawberries on top. Numb.
Numb is right. Are there still strawberries out there? You are my authority on
berries. You know, I know it's the end. I don't know if it's the actual end or just the drizzly end. I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
But so sad. It's only like 3 weeks long, you know, the season here.
I know. But when that season ends, these other things are coming on that are
yeah.
just so fabulous.
Yeah.
And also there is a standard progression of berries.
Yeah. I like raspberries, I think, more than most people do.
I love them.
They're in my top three.
I almost always have raspberries.
Yeah,
in the
fridge. Really, really like them.
I just really, yeah. They're the best. And blueberries. There's
yes.
kinds of blueberries like strawberries that go all summer long
yeah,
and
yeah.
just morph into other types.
Well, there's so many different varieties,
yeah.
which is really something.
Yeah. And now, you know, we can get those beefsteak blueberries that you have to slice. They're so big.
It's true.
We're out of time. We're out of time. You know, if we would actually script this thing, we would have a gentle close. But no, we're out of time. You want to sing us out?
I'm driving my blueberry. It reminds me of Willy Wonka. I'm driving my blueberry around. It's giant. I'm driving my blueberry. It doesn't fit in the front seat. I got to put it in my blueberry trunk. Hey, I wrote that.
You did. On the fly. Oh, have a great week, everybody. We'll see you in a couple weeks here on Food Talk. Linda Perkins, thank you so much.
Thank you, Marianne. Good cooking, everybody. Make lovely stuff.